right, attempt number two.
Back in the building. What's going on? Back in the caves.
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, not as exciting this time. Basically, we just had a technical error, but we're all excited because I'm back from my trip. And this time around, having to do it a second time, it's not as exciting. But I'm back from my trip, 4 weeks in the UK, back to Vancouver now, back in the cave, grinding, back to the running track this morning, get some Z2 in. Olivia's at daycare, thank goodness, because I've been spending the last 4 weeks with her. And just so happy to be back to my regular routine. Get back on with my clients, catch up with that stuff, and get back on some kind of training regimen because that's been lacking a little bit for the last 4 weeks. I say lacking a little bit. I trained twice. So there you go.
Yeah, man. Good to see you, bro. It's good to see you back. Fuck, man. What a trip. So how was it over there?
Yeah, it was good. It was great to see my family, stayed with my parents, and it was nice. I think the weather was pretty good. Really, we were lucky there. But 4 weeks is a long time. I don't know. Maybe go a little less next time. Maybe even a little trip to Europe or something. Because this time around, we didn't book a car because car prices, car rental prices have gone up so much. I guess because used cars have significantly increased, gas prices have gone up through the roof. So what cost me last time, £500 for 3 weeks of car hire, this was at the beginning, before the pandemic, really. 3 weeks was £500, and now it was over £1,000 for 4 weeks.
Jeez.
Damn. So it's like doubled in value or doubled in cost. So we weren't able to get a car, and my parents kind of live it kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's not like in the middle of a grassy field or anything, but like in the UK, just one town rolls straight from one into the next. And unless you're like close to a city, public transport is pretty useless. So we were kind of struggling with that a little bit. So it would have been nice to have a car to get around a little bit more. So next time, I think we would definitely, hopefully save up for a car before we go.
Mm.
Yep. There you go.
So I do this thing where sometimes I just won't talk just to see if like, all right, are they just waiting on me to say something and keep this thing rolling or what? Are they just like if I wasn't here, hey, what would this podcast be like?
Mate, you're the master of ceremonies.
How am I the master of ceremonies? I literally just click record and I host the Zoom. Why is this all on my shoulders?
That's all it takes.
Because you're the one with the Zoom account, mate. You're the one with the paid Zoom account.
Yeah. Why is this all on my shoulders all of a sudden? I got enough on my goddamn plate.
No, I got... Mate, I'm the graphic designer. And apparently Austin is the editor. So you're the master of ceremonies, mate.
All right. If that's my role, let's make it official right now. Because I didn't know that was my role. But now that I know that, that means I got to come up with hot topics and takes every week. You guys got to help with the topics, though.
I've actually got a good one for today that I wanted to bring up. But right. Before we touch on that, I just wanted to say you do a really good job of mastering the ceremony. Because,
hey, I read that book too, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yeah, I read that too.
I haven't actually read it yet. I took it with me to the UK, but I haven't read it yet. So if you think notes, I'm doing,
you just naturally know.
If you think I'm doing some kind of like technique to be nice to you, you're wrong, mate. I'm just genuinely being nice to you.
No, I don't.
I do think you're a good.
I don't think you need a technique to do that. I think you just naturally live by those principles.
Yeah. Well. I think you're a little bit more extroverted than Austin and I. And I've never done a podcast before this. Like, I've been on a couple podcasts, but I'm thinking of actually starting my own soon. Let's go. Yeah, you do a good job, mate.
The Taters Experience. Is that a good name? All right, yeah, maybe not. All right, man.
Me and Taters.
What you got for a topic? Let's get straight into this fucking thing.
Yeah. Okay. So it might not be like a full, long topic of discussion, but it's something that it's me getting information from TikToks. So, but it's from a reputable source. I don't know if it's Dr. Ids or Dr. IDZ. You've probably seen him on there.
I don't know how you say it either. Guy. It's either Ids or Ides. I'm not sure how you say it.
Mm-hmm. I even heard someone say IDZ as well, or Z if you're in the UK. But basically, he was talking about visceral fat, and he was talking about how increasing cardiovascular work, predominantly, he was saying the best results were done from doing HIIT cardio to have a reduction in visceral fat. And there were several studies, even a meta-analysis, that showed that doing that kind of doing cardiovascular work showed a reduction in visceral fat, which I thought was very interesting because I didn't know that. It's not something that I've looked into really, because most of the stuff that I've worked on, I presume it's very similar with you. It's more body composition related, not necessarily about optimizing health, but it's about, you know, looking good as opposed to being 100% healthy, although they kind of go hand in hand. But, you know, he's a doctor, right? So he's coming from a different angle. But one thing that kind of irked me a little bit was the fact that people were really leaning into this idea of a reduction in visceral fat as a way to market or a way to gain followers by saying reduce belly fat. And I see it more and more. And I see people talking about, you know, reduce belly fat through other techniques now via managing your insulin. And I don't think that is true. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that is true. Like managing your blood sugar levels in order to reduce visceral fat. But because there was no study shown in some of the posts that I've seen on that. But I do see people, you know, suggesting you can lose belly fat by doing more cardio. And there was even an article published by the BBC last night that I read that was saying it might be more optimal for women to train at a certain time for this reason, where you're burning more belly fat. And if you read more into it, it's not belly fat as in the subcutaneous fat, but it's the visceral fat that they're talking about. And so my question was, and I don't know, would a reduction in visceral fat, now of course it's healthy, but will a reduction in visceral fat have any image, will it change the way you look? Do you guys know that, and to what extent that might be the case?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm just gonna honestly say I honestly have no idea. That's something that I do want to look into now that you've like brought it up. I don't know how much of an effect it has on actual, like, you know, aesthetics and body appearance and all that.
Because I'm think people sure are leaning well. Into that. I think people are leaning into that, or people are misinterpreting that and then using it as a way to, and maybe not knowingly, you know, maybe they're leaning into that and thinking, this is how I can help people reduce, you know, feel good about themselves by having a less of a belly. When, of course, it's healthy, but I don't know to what extent it would help you look the way that you want to look, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because for the most part, when we talk about like belly fat, that is like subcutaneous fat, which is the fat right in your skin. Whereas like we think visceral fat, it's like, yeah, it's in your belly, but it's like it's literally like deep within like your organs, and it's like the insulation and all that.
Yeah, like it's the visceral fat is what covers the organs, and it is not good. Like it is not good to have that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Dr. Ids, let's call him. He puts out a lot of really good, helpful information. I find it really, really awesome, the stuff that he puts out, and debunks a lot of crap that's out there. And so he posted something about this, and it got me thinking. It was like, you know, this is, if this is true, which it does sound like it potentially is, like, you know, having some cardiovascular work in a program, it's just another tick in the box for why more people should be doing that, you know, and not just for aesthetics.
Yeah, so I actually made a video on TikTok about how to lose belly fat, and he got tagged in it. This was like when I first started on TikTok, and he came over to my page and he basically said that a calorie deficit is great, but that is how you lose subcutaneous fat. And he said, if you want more information on this, check out my page. I just did a video on this. And so I clicked on his video, and one of the main points that he made was to do your cardio. And he said, dieting can only lose visceral fat when weight loss is achieved. So that's kind of like, obviously cardio burns visceral fat without being in a calorie deficit or losing weight. So that's his findings. And I didn't know this before I started following him. This is why it's so important to stay, not be so close-minded in this industry, because somebody will come and teach you something that you didn't know. And if you're so close-minded and dogmatic in your beliefs and your approaches and everything, you're gonna end up being wrong, because we all are wrong on a daily basis. We all are wrong. And no matter how careful you are with creating content, there's more research coming out, and there's going to be somebody who's an expert in that particular area who is able to do more research and look at better studies and talk about why the studies that you're citing are not good studies, and why this meta-analysis is, you know, covers more of a better population to explain this. And so, you know, it's, you have to be open-minded in this. So I learned something new. And another thing that we thought was that resistance training has an effect on visceral fat, and it doesn't. Resistance training has no effect on visceral fat loss. So cardio is what is going to help you lose that. So yeah, interesting stuff. Mm-hmm.
But just being careful of how people are wording it, because like this BBC article that I was reading yesterday was about a new study. It's not a meta-analysis. It was just an independent study. And I didn't read the study. I literally just read the BBC article last night, and they were talking about when the best time to work out is. Now, my initial thought is like, it's pointless to a certain degree, because it really doesn't matter. Maybe there's some minute benefits to working out at a slightly different time, but it's way overcomplicating things that don't need to be overcomplicated for the general population or for everyone, really. Like if you are going to work out when is best suited for you. But it's this idea of burn fat and lose fat, and not the energy balance equation. So one thing that you mentioned there was you can lose visceral fat by doing cardio, but you don't need to be in a calorie deficit. So what that suggests to me is that the visceral fat that's getting used as energy or mobilized as energy is, as long as you are eating at maintenance for that day, that fat will get redistributed to other areas of the body.
It will get redistributed to subcutaneous fat.
Interesting.
Which is like, what? But that's so but that's so good. That's so good, right? Because visceral fat is the fat that is dangerous. That's the fat that is the most dangerous in the body. Having subcutaneous fat has its own issues and its own risks for other things, but having that visceral fat definitely puts you at risk for a lot of different health problems. So the fact that doing cardio just 3 times a week at like moderate intensity, like that zone 2 that we talk about, 30 to 60 minutes, moderate to high intensity. That's actually probably like zone 2/zone 3. 30 to 60 minutes, 3 times a week. That is actually going to help you redistribute that visceral fat to subcutaneous fat. So great for your health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to lose some subcutaneous fat, get in a slight calorie deficit as well. Deficit, baby. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two birds, one stone, mate.
You can do the same. You can do it all at once. You can do cardio and be in a calorie deficit. And guess what? You're going to lose visceral fat and you're going to lose subcutaneous fat. And look better, feel better, live longer all at the same fucking time, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have ever thought?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking
exercise and eating right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who tells you fucking, oh, you don't have to do cardio to lose fat. Like, yeah, technically that's true. But like, do your fucking cardio and eat right because you're going to reap the benefits of both.
Well, apparently you have to do cardio to lose visceral fat. Huh?
Yeah.
We'll school them, mate. We'll just send them this podcast.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we were all part of this fitness industry when everyone was like, you don't have to do cardio to lose fat. And like, we've all said it. We've all done it. We've all said it. And it's not a helpful fucking message. It's not. Yeah. Because you do have to do cardio to lose fat, but visceral fat. You have to do cardio to lose visceral fat. And I've also heard that sleeping, also like getting good quality sleep, also affects visceral fat. I haven't looked at any studies, but I would bet that that is the case as well. So it helps. Yeah. It helps to do your fucking cardio. And honestly,
and it's just fucking good for you.
It's good for you. It's good for your heart. But like, here's another thing too, is like, it's fun. Once you get into the groove of doing it, it's actually like, for me personally, it becomes more fun. It's not as grueling as it once was when I first started. Now I enjoy it, and it's time for me to like go and see what I can do. And then like, what's cool too is it's getting easier. It's getting so much easier for me to do cardio now. So it's not as grueling as it was when I first started. So it sucked at first. I'm not gonna lie. When I first started doing more moderate intense cardio more often, it sucked. I was winded, I was gassed. I don't like not being good at stuff, and so it sucked. And then I got better at it, and now it doesn't suck. Imagine that.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, one of the biggest benefits is like getting that heart rate recovery, which is basically just the ability for your heart to go from like super high heart rate to like super low, and like just like feeling more in shape. And like, I found that was like the biggest thing. Like, I don't feel like I have to suck wind just like doing some random activity, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely
feel it between sets.
Yeah, I think like after COVID, like during COVID, I wasn't doing any fucking cardio. And then like, but I had this thing in my head where I was like, I'm going to start running every morning. And I did that for about fucking 2 weeks. And then I was like, no coffee, straight out the door, slip my running shoes on, and I'm going. And like, I did it for like 2 weeks. My roommates were like, dude, that's so cool that you've been running. And like, I'm just talking about how great it is and how great I feel. And I don't even need coffee. 2 weeks into it, I'm fucking over it.
Dude, that is so you, mate. That is so you, Jeff.
You know,
mate,
that's so funny because that's literally how most people go about their fitness journey.
Like, I know.
Yeah, I'm feeling fucking great. I'm in a calorie deficit. I'm fucking running every day, and then they do it for like 2-3 weeks, and then fuck this.
Yep.
It's like Jeff when he was like, "Right, I'm gonna post every day on YouTube."
Every fucking day.
And he posts,
dude,
like, he's like, I'm gonna post every day for like a month or something. And then like, you did a great job, but like, mate, you love to go all in, man.
Bro,
you love
I to got go burnt all in. The fuck out. Yeah, I do. That's how I've like, I'm either all out or all in, man. And it's tough to find moderation with anything. But that's why I became a coach, because those are the same kind of people that I attract, are these like all in or all out people. And I've found sustainability and moderation in my own fitness and my own health routines, but I still fall in and out of doing like self-improvement stuff, like reading books, meditating, you know, sitting in silence. Like, I'm on this new thing right now where I'm trying to get out into the sun within the first 30 minutes of me waking up, trying to go take Mello for like a 30-minute walk right when I wake up, trying to, like, you know, I've been reading research about, like, your circadian rhythm and how you want to get out into the sun pretty soon after you wake up and walking. You want to get outside and get in the sun and start walking pretty soon after waking up. I'm trying to regulate my caffeine. I'll either go from like 400 milligrams a day to like 50. So, like, I'll either go full on with caffeine or I'll have like 50 milligrams of caffeine. There's no in between. Yeah, same thing with like nutrient dense foods. Like, I'm either eating like the highest fucking nutrient dense fucking meals, or I'm like just eating like shit.
Yeah. It's difficult as well. Like, I think a lot of people that like us are similar, and that's why, you know, we love to go to the gym, and that's why we're able to stick to going to the gym, because we get so obsessed, I suppose, like, in a healthy way obsessed, to go, like, passionate, you know what I mean? Like, we're so passionate about it, we fall in love with doing this kind of thing, and we make it such a big part of our lives. But one thing that I've seen with working with clients is I've started to, you know, label it as a bit of a red flag when someone is so all or nothing, because I've seen it a few times now where someone's coming in so hot out the gates with their cut, let's say. I had one guy was like, tell me on the phone, like, he's like, you tell me what to do and I'll hit the macros to the gram every time. And I was like, you don't need to do that. And he was like, you know, don't worry. He was like, don't worry, my other coach told me that. And he was like, you know, I know I don't need to, but like, that's just who I am, and that's what I'm going to do. And I was thinking, no, I've seen this guy train, like, he's really awesome, he really puts a lot of effort in, you know, I'm sure everything's going to be fine. And anyway, so he did hit every macro to the gram pretty much. And then until like one day or one week where he kind of fell off the wagon a little bit, and then he was gone, really. You know, he ended as a client there. And I think he had some other stuff going on, honestly, but like it was just like literally all and then nothing. You know, and so it is really difficult for that kind of person, because it's like, if they don't hit their high expectation, whether they are coached or not, you know, you don't need to hit that. If they don't meet their expectation of they need to hit the exact macro to the gram, which is ridiculous, no one needs to do that ever. In fact, I advise not doing that ever. You know, it's just, okay, I'm off the wagon, you know, I'll just give it a break now, because it's like when you ruin a streak, it's hard to get back on once you ruin a streak.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think, so here's the thing with all or nothing people who come on and they say, I'm really all or nothing. This, I get this all the time from new prospective clients, like when I'm like on a consult call, so many people say they're either all or nothing, and they recognize it as their own problem to why they haven't reached their goals. So they recognize it. They're aware that they have this issue of being all or nothing. When you label yourself as all or nothing, you are now setting yourself up for failure. It's basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because I can say to myself, I'm an all or nothing type person. So either I'm all in with something or I'm all out. Eventually, I'm going to be all out. That's basically telling you that, hey, eventually, I'm going to go super hard on this. And then eventually, I'm just going to ghost. Right? What I've found with my own personal fitness and me being that all or nothing type person, which I'm really not, I labeled myself that for the longest time. I like to do things aggressively, and then I like to not do things aggressively at all. So when I found balance with my fitness and my health and my nutrition and all of those things, it felt like I wasn't doing enough. It felt like I'm not going to see results because I'm not going hard enough. And I had never actually taken the time to be patient and practice consistency day in and day out. Day in and day out. And it's really fucking boring. It's boring, to be honest. But once I got comfortable in the boring part of this whole thing, and I started to enjoy it. Same thing with cardio, right? I talked about how cardio sucked at first, and I really didn't like it. But I got into the rhythm of how boring it was and how hard it was. And then I got a little bit better at it, 1% better, 1% better. And then eventually, now I enjoy it. Same thing with my fitness, same thing with lifting, same thing with eating, you know, in the correct way for my body. You know, like for me personally, like all of this stuff is boring, but it's finding the little things that I enjoy about each of those boring things and continuing to do them because I am getting better. I am seeing results. I am seeing progress, and I'm able to sustain it for years and years and years. And I've proven that to myself. So there's no reason to stop doing what I'm doing. And if you're out there and you're an all or nothing type person, this is my challenge to you. Do something that is so small, that is so minuscule that it feels fucking stupid. Whether that's a 20-minute walk per day, eating one salad per day, drinking 3 bottles of water per day, adding in a couple pieces of fruit per day, you're going to feel like it's not doing anything. And that's how you know it's actually going to work for you long term. It's like the compound interest theory of like you put in $5 and over time it compounds, it compounds, it compounds. If you put in like $5 a month at the age of like 17 and you keep doing that, you're going to have a lot of money in your bank account or your investment account, your 401k or whatever. It's the same theory. It's a compounding interest. So it doesn't feel like you're doing a lot now, but over time you're putting in those hours, you're putting in those hours, you're putting in, and then, you know, 10,000 hours later, like you have built this habit and you're solid, you're dialed in. So anyways, long rant, yeah. But that's what I would say.
Yeah. Something that actually came to mind right now is that like what I found with like the all or nothing mindset, it's a pretty like short-term mindset in itself. Cause you think like, I'm going to go all in for this short amount of time because I'm going to go all in, get these results, get these progress in that short amount of time. And then I'm probably going to do, and if I can't achieve that, then I'm going to go to nothing. Or if I somehow achieve that, then I can keep going all in. Whereas like, if we kind of zoom out and look at the long-term, like we can start to think about it with people like all or nothing. A good alternative is thinking about it in terms of like having seasons or having phases. So like, let's say you can go all in for the short amount of time, but you know that, okay, after that, I'm going to take this like other phase and not go as hard, or have like these, like say like your daily, like non-negotiables that you're going to hit like year round. But during these harder phases, you can go a little bit more aggressive because you know, you don't have that much other commitments or anything. So you can go a little bit harder. You can dial things a little bit more aggressive and just, go a little bit harder and get a little bit more progress or more results and like actually feel like you're putting in like more work in a sense. And I think that could be like a good alternative or a solution to that.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like the seasons approach.
That's kind of nice. And when we think about it, like in the long term, in the grand scheme of life, like we're all going to have like seasons and phases. Like we're not going to be able to keep up like our same routine right now. Like 10 years from now, we're probably going to have a entirely different routine than we do. So like thinking of these in terms of seasons, like I'm a dude in my 20s, like I can go pretty hard and like with like I don't have that much commitments. I know that I can go pretty hard with my fitness right now. I can stay dialed in with like just eating the same stuff pretty much every single day, you know, not missing a workout all that much. And like, but I know like 10 years from now, I'm probably gonna have other commitments. I'm probably gonna have to take it easier and I can't expect the same thing out of myself. But like, I guess given your circumstances, you like, it's kind of just like, you know, figure out what works for you in this point in time and like do the best you can, that kind of thing.
I got a quick little story. So a buddy of mine called me. And he's a trainer. He might be listening to this. I don't know. I'm not going to say his name. So he's been trying to get back on track with his fitness. And he's like not training right now. He was a personal trainer. He's doing something different for his career right now. And him and his girlfriend are struggling to get back in shape. They live in a city where there's a lot of delicious, amazing food, like a block away, like within walking distance, all these amazing restaurants, right? And so they're having a hard time with that, basically with all this delicious, hyper-palatable, amazing food like right outside their door. And they want to try it all because they just moved to the city. They want to try out all these new restaurants. And he's like, man, I'm fucking over it. He's like, I'm really overweight right now. I don't feel good in my skin, like blah, blah, blah. Like, I need to get back on track. And I've had the same conversation with him for months about him wanting to get back on track, right? Just wanting to get back on track, wanting to get back on track. And he always says stuff like, I'm going to go back on my meal plan. Like, he's from the bodybuilding world. So he's had people write him these meal plans of like chicken breast, 400 grams, like rice, 200 grams, you know, this time eat this much. And it's just a very bodybuilding bro diet, you know? And he does this like religiously, bro. I've seen him do it religiously for like 6 to 9 months, to the point where he one time came over to my house with a chicken breast, like a whole breast in one hand, and a sweet potato in the other hand. And the chicken breast had no seasoning on it, bro. And I'm not even joking. Oh. He was double fisting chicken breast and sweet potatoes like this.
Oh, geez.
Just double fisting.
You told me about this guy.
Bro. And I was like, you are so fucking crazy. But so that's what kind of person he is, right? And he got dialed, he got shredded, and it worked. Of course it did, because he was fucking like dedicated to this stupid ass meal plan, right? But now he's trying to go back to this because it's what had worked for him before. And so he's trying to go back to this because he's all or nothing type guy too. That's in his head, he's an all or nothing type guy. So he's trying to go back to this, and he's like, all right, me and my girlfriend, we had this discussion. We're not going to eat out at restaurants for the entire month of July. No restaurants. We're going to eat only home-cooked meals. And I was like, do you really want to do that? And he's like, I feel better when I don't eat at restaurants. Like, I can reach my goals better. And I was like, I don't think eating out at a restaurant once per week is going to ruin your goals, dude. If it is, like, you're going way overboard when you go to that restaurant. You're eating like 7,000 plus calories when you go out. It's like you're binging. And he's like, no, it's just like I get bloated and then the sodium, and then I step on the scale and I feel that. I'm like, dude, you sound like one of my clients. Like, you know better than that. You know better than the fact that one night of eating out, having some sushi one night a week, is not going to fucking ruin your progress. And I was like, why don't you set a more realistic goal of one times per week? Not only that, it's time for you and your girlfriend to get out of the house once per week. Like, it's a date night. Like, it's quality time. And I'm sure she appreciates that. I'm sure it makes your relationship better. Right? So I say that's – and he was like, you're right. I don't know why I was trying to be so strict, blah, blah, blah. And it was good. Like, I'm glad I was honest with him that I felt like what he was trying to do, it wasn't going to work for him. And so he – decided to set a goal of one times per week, and I'll keep you guys updated on how that goes because we just had this conversation yesterday. But it just goes to show you that even like people in this industry still struggle with the same like all or nothing type bullshit that we do, that you do, that anybody does. So it's like what worked for me in the past, right? And then you try to go back to that. And it's like the reason that worked for me was because like I was fucking insane at that time and had no responsibilities. And like fitness was my life. Now, fitness is not my life. I don't care about being 8% body fat, 10% body fat. Like, I don't fucking care about that. I care about looking good, feeling good, hitting some juicy ass PRs in the gym, and like what's sustainable for me, eating good food, hanging out, socializing, you know, getting outside, like all of that stuff is important to me. And getting below 10% body fat just isn't it's not on my list of fucking things that I really want to do right now. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah. I don't know if this is something you guys have noticed. I guess this is a question for you guys. Like, have you guys, like, I guess, realized or, like, just noticed that as you've gotten older, you just don't have the same willpower as you did when you're younger?
Yes.
Because, yeah. Yeah, because I remember, like, first times I started my fitness journey and all that. Like, I would, like, starve myself. I'd, like, just, like, get myself on these super low calories. And somehow I like, pushed through and I just, like, grinded through them through, like, pure willpower. But now, like, even the thought of being on a calorie deficit, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to suck. And then, like, I got to, like, find ways to kind of make myself stick to it, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely, like, I'm a dad now. You know, like, I am a dad. So it's like, after I've put, like, Olivia to bed and I've got, like, a beer in the fridge and I'm like, I could be, like, done with my macros or I could crack me a cheeky little tinny, you know?
A what?
A cheeky tinny. Most of the time I don't, but like sometimes I do, you know, and like, or if like, I don't know, I think as you get older, you generally care less about stuff overall. Like, I don't want it to sound like I don't care what people think about me, because I do, but I cared way more when I was younger. So like, just generally, like, I used to care what people thought. I used to care what I wore. And just as I've gotten older, I've just gotten a little bit more comfortable with who I am, that I don't care as much about that kind of thing. And I don't know if that kind of slips into, like, I've got these goals and yeah, I'm going to really work hard. No, I don't think it slips in actually, because I'm fucking like grinding in my business, that kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know actually, because sometimes I think, if I had less responsibilities, I think I'd find it way easier to stick to stuff. But I find it's just the stress of daily life and being an adult, having to take responsibility for looking after a child, the stress and frustrations, lack of sleep around all of that. It just makes it a little bit harder to care about following a calorie deficit as strictly. That's the only thing, really. And if I miss a training session, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Because it's not the end of the world. You know, my main priority is bringing up my daughter, making sure the girls are happy. You know what I mean? Not how swole my left bicep is in comparison to my right. You know? So I think your perspective definitely changes. Like, when my daughter was born, just before she was born, I was going ham on the CrossFit. Like, I was competing at like local competitions and I was just going ham, hell for leather, what's going on, scaring school, right? And then she was born and I was just like, you know, why am I doing this, spending like two or three hours a day in the gym, like busting my shoulder on muscle ups and shit, when I could just be like pumping some iron and like getting an early night. You know what I mean? So that's a longer story, long answer to your question. But yes, I guess the answer is kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good answer.
Yeah. What's going on? Let's go. What did you say?
Pop me a cheeky little tinny.
Crack me a cheeky little tinny, scan on getting to school. You know what I mean?
Scan on, scan school. Did I say it right? Exactly. Did I say it right?
Yeah. No. Scan on getting to school.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, so
no, I agree. I don't have kids and I feel that way too. Oh, by the way, I'm not having a kid. I know I mentioned that on this podcast, but I'm not having a kid, so I thought I'd announce it to the pod gang. But yeah, anyways, the fact that I am not a father and all of that, my willpower is also decreased. And like, Austin, how old are you? 25.
Fucking okay. Hell. Quarter of a century, oh. Mate.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Lived to 100.
So Austin's 25 and I'm 33. So considerable amount like of more time on this earth, right? A little bit more time on this earth. And like, my willpower, even from 25 to 33, like, has diminished, right? But it's like, I think that's also just kind of like, what is important to me now is different from when I was 25. When I was 25, it was like, what do I think is gonna fucking impress the ladies? What's gonna get me laid? Like, that was pretty much what I cared about when I was 25. What is gonna get me laid? That's all I cared about. Didn't care about much else. Now at 33, it's like morals and values and all that shit are different. And I don't fucking care. And I also know that, like, having a six pack does not get you laid. It doesn't. Nobody gives a fuck. And if anything, it's probably going to make the girl that you're trying to date, like, self-conscious. The fact that you're all shredded walking around with striated glutes.
when you ask most women, they're like, that's too much. Yeah, so they're like, most women aren't even into that.
Yeah, no. They don't want...
They
don't
love want... the cushion for the pushing.
Yeah, what?
Real men have curves, mate. You know what I mean?
We're going full bear mode on this podcast, dude.
Yeah.
We'll all come back with beards and fucking... We're all like 250.
Yeah. I can't imagine Austin with a beard.
Well, Austin's going to get a Dermaroller. Dermaroller and Rogaine, dude. You're going to be the first Asian guy with like a nice... thick fucking beard. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. So, master of ceremonies. What else all we right, got?
Master, yeah. What else honestly, we got on the docket?
I honestly really like what we did with this episode because we originally talked about the visceral fat and then we started talking about the all or nothing type mentality, which I love that topic. I think that's like, I don't know how we got on that subject, but I think it's a very necessary conversation to be had. So I love that we landed on that and then kind of landed on the self-discipline and like willpower as you get older. I think we covered some good shit. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so too.
All right, gang.
Although I think we do have a little bit more time for one more question, but I don't have a question. I wanted to wait until Andy came back to tell you guys this. So one of my in-person clients, she is like, hey, I finally got a chance to check out your podcast you're doing with the other two guys. And basically she gave a nice little summary and she said, Jeff is kind of like the chill bro. Andy's a little bit more sophisticated, and then I'm like the professor.
Right, yeah.
That's good.
I'm only sophisticated because I speak with the Queen's. Oh, there we go. I can't even bloody
Queen's
talk.
English. I think
creme anglaise, mate.
I think Andy's a bro too. I think he just because he has an English accent, people don't realize it. He's a bro.
Yeah,
Andy's probably. A bro.
Yeah,
Andy's a straight up bro. Bro, Chad. No, that's a good dude. That's a good summary. That's a good
yeah.
And she said pretty... she likes how like all of our personalities are like slightly different, so we all have something to contribute.
Yeah, my friend said that too, actually. So if your client is listening, thanks for listening. We appreciate it, and if she's not, Austin, make sure you say thank you for that.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure, isn't it?
For sure.
Yep. And when this podcast is ranking
on Thursday
number 3 on Apple Podcasts Fitness, we'll remember her. What's her name?
She said she wanted to remain anonymous.
All right,
but her name starts with J.
Well, Jay, we're going to remember you when we're big. We're big. We don't forget about people. We're not going to change up.
Yeah.
Started at the bottom.
Now we're here.
Now we're fucking here. Let's go. Thank you guys for listening to Gentlemen's Roundtable Body Recomposition. We will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. And if you feel so inclined, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We love it. We appreciate all the reviews. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
See ya. Thanks for listening. Here we go. Master Ceremonies.
Bye-bye.